myself. Thank you. Oh, there, I'm unmuted now, right? Okay. Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to the first of our four information sessions. I should introduce myself. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Kimberly, and I'm currently serving as Panel 71 Delegate for Area 83 Eastern Ontario International. So again, welcome. Welcome everyone to our first of four information sessions on the AAWS Comprehensive Media Plan. Our topic this evening is carrying the message, and we're going to have an introduction to the Comprehensive Media Plan. I want to extend a special welcome to our panelists for this evening. So if I could ask Patrick and Morgan to raise their hand, as well as Irma to raise her hand, that'll bring you guys to the front of first page for everyone. And we will also spotlight you. So that way, depending on what view people choose, they will get to see who you are. So Patrick and Morgan have been involved in drafting elements of the Comprehensive Media Plan. With their collective expertise, the evening promises to be educational and instructive. Before I turn this meeting over to our facilitator for this evening, there are a couple of housekeeping matters. This session is being interpreted in English and French, so please locate the interpretation button and select your language of choice. And typically, the button is near the bottom of your screen. We are saving audio-only recordings in both English and French. Links to these audio recordings will be emailed to anyone who has registered for the sessions. Closed caption has also been enabled, both in English and French. If you are experiencing any technical difficulties, please send a chat to our Zoom text. And you can find them in the chat section there, titled Zoom text. I'd like to officially start off the session with a brief reading from the AA Service Manual. Our 12th step, carrying the message, is the basic service that Alcoholics Anonymous Fellowship gives. This is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. Therefore, AA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. We must carry the message, else we ourselves can wither, and those who have not been given the truth may die. So I'm now going to turn the session over to our facilitator for this evening, Irma, who's our Western Canada Regional Trustee. Please welcome Irma.
Thank you. Thank you, Kimberly, for the invitation to be with you this evening and to facilitate this workshop. So, good evening, everyone. I am Irma. I am an alcoholic, and I am currently serving as a Western Canada Regional Trustee on the General Service Board, and I also serve as an AAWS director. I've had the privilege to serve as a Panel 59 Saskatchewan Area Delegate and look forward to being with you this evening. I want to take a minute to let everybody know how I envision the evening will follow. So I'm going to invite each of the two panelists to introduce themselves and give us a brief explanation of their role with Alcoholics Anonymous and their involvement in the development in developing this comprehensive media plan. Each panelist will speak for 10 to 15 minutes to give us an overview of their particular expertise and their responsibility in the implementation of the comprehensive media plan. Panelists will be given a list of questions in advance of this evening's sessions, and their remarks will address the bulk of those questions. While the panelists are speaking, I invite members of the audience to submit any questions that come to mind into the chat. We're looking forward to a lively discussion among panelists and between panelists and you, the members of the audience. You can submit your questions either in English or in French, and when called upon, the chat monitors will read the questions in the language they are written. So at this time, I would like to call on Patrick. We'll give you the time to share and really looking forward to hearing from you on the CMP. And then we'll go to Morgan. So, Patrick.
Excellent. Good evening. Thank you, Irma, and welcome, Morgan. It's good to be pairing up with you tonight to talk about our favorite subject, the Comprehensive Media Plan. I wanted to share with you all that first that Tom Hoban, our trustee Public Information Committee chairperson, was going to be with us as well, helping facilitate and present. But he was unable to. He's not feeling well, so he sends his sadness for not being at the event. He certainly wanted to be here, but we will help pick up the reins for him and present for you guys about the CMP. So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Patrick, and my last name is Claymore, and I'm a GSO staff member. I serve currently on the public information assignment as the public information coordinator. So one of my roles is obviously secretary to the trustees public information committee, as well as secretary to the conference committee on public information, and to help coordinate, participate, and facilitate the development of the annual review and update of the comprehensive media plan. So I'm going to present, I'm going to share screen if I may, which I can. And I'm going to do a slideshow. And so just pausing to make sure A, you can hear me, B, you can see the presentation. Just a thumbs up from somebody. Okay, good. So we're here to demystify the comprehensive media plan. and thank you, Kimberly, for the great invitation. And I know the many people behind the scenes who are working to put this on. So thank you. So session one is carrying the message, an introduction to the comprehensive media plan. And so one of the things that I was asked to do was take a little stroll down history lane. And so I did. To find out, like, where the heck did this thing come from? When did this become a topic of discussion? And from what I could find, so if anybody has any additional information, you know, I'm not going to be hurt. But what I could find through the Trustees Public Information Committee's history and actions, and Conference Committee history and actions, and past iterations of subcommittees, was this all began in the 2010-2011 timeframe. So in May of 2011, in the annual trustees report, trustees PI report that they send to the conference committee on PI each year, they agreed in their report, there was a statement under the section utilizing new media platforms. They agreed to develop a comprehensive public information media plan. And that very same conference in 2011, the conference committee did an additional committee consideration, and they expressed support for the trustees PI information committee to develop the comprehensive media plan. So that's kind of where it all began. So the next year, in 2012, the Trustees PI Committee, in July of 2012, which is when the trustees' work kind of begins, the trustees' work begins after conference in July, and then they work from July through October and through January, and then they report back to the following conference each year. But they appointed a subcommittee on the comprehensive media plan. And they had this quote at the top, which we're all very familiar with if we're involved in public information. Nothing matters more to AA's future welfare than the manner in which we use the colossus of modern communication. Used unselfishly and well, it can produce results surpassing our present imagination. And that was a quote from Bill back in the 1950s. And as you can see, it was a strategic, view looking forward to what we were going to be needing to keep our eyes on in this public information service that we do. You know, we want to be relevant as a organization. We want to share what we do, who we are, how we can help. how people can get a hold of us. And so when I was looking back at this report that it talks about from this CMP subcommittee in 2012, their goal was to increase awareness of what AA is, what AA can and cannot do in ways that are measurable and undergo regular review and revision as appropriate so that any alcoholic in need can find AA. And, I just want to say, does that sound familiar? It kind of sounds familiar, right? It's like what we do in PI work. The target audiences were individuals with a drinking problem, professionals who might come across individuals with a drinking problem, or be in the other, you know, that could be a multitude of professionals, as we all know, CPC, whether it's clergy or human resources or healthcare, legal, correctional. We also want to have good relations with our media professionals. So as an organization, we want to show that we've got quality materials to share the message from in ways that they're going to expect to see it in today's world, right? They're not necessarily interested in us handing them a pamphlet so much anymore, right? Some will, some do, and you know, our pamphlets are available and they're great materials, but we're trying to move forward in this colossus of communication and make sure that we're on the spectrum, right? We're on the spectrum of people who are needing things in a print format because they like it that way and they want it that way, but then we're also in this place where we have channels of communication that we need to explore, like to make sure that we, you know, not to do anything scary, but to follow our traditions and to go where the people are, right? We want to go where maybe the younger folks are or other folks are in different social media venues and channels. So we also, of course, are having good relations with those media professionals, the general public, and obviously you, of all people, AA members involved in public information service. So this whole the whole concept of what they called measurement back then is what we call analytics today, right? We want to know not only are the where we're at is we want to know how where we're at in these different channels are effective, you know, so we have these analytics, how many people are visiting and things like that that are outlined in the comprehensive media plan. The other interesting piece in our history that I was looking at is by 2013, so this was the next year, there was an ask and we followed through to add to the trustees public information committee's composition scope and procedure. I know I'm throwing a lot of terms at you, but this is simply the how the trustees PI committee operates. What's their composition, how many members, what's their scope of work, and what's the process that they follow. But we added number 5 to their procedure, ongoing development and annual review of the public information comprehensive media plan. By 2016, that expanded to the longer procedure that you see here. So ongoing development and annual review, that still remains, guided by the goal, target audience, and message in the most recent public information comprehensive media plan. Such efforts should rely on experts in public relations and related fields within the fellowship whenever possible and may reach outside the fellowship when needed. Morgan Biggs. So we have our little expert, right? That we have, not little, but our expert who we brought on board. You are a little short, but that's another subject. You know, somebody who knows about what a comprehensive media plan is and can help us as we, because I can tell you, I am not an expert, but, you know, need that support. I'm, you know, a staff member who's rotating in and out of different assignments. one of our earlier advisors, one of these professional advisors or experts, shared early on that they hoped we could come up with a plan that was useful and that would change over time as media would undoubtedly change. And so you're kind of seeing this whole setup of the flow of the work, the flow of the plan, the annual update, the annual review, the bypass by trustees committee and conference committee. So, I wanted to see if I think I covered. Yeah, I did. So now we're kind of at today's plan, and we're going off of the 2022 comprehensive media plan when I'm talking about today's plan. Why? Because we're still in the works of updating the 2023 version. And Morgan will talk about that. But I wanted to give a little insight into, it's not a scary plan. There's only 8 sections. It's only 40 pages. It's not that long. So the purpose of this document, it's intended to serve as an inventory of our ongoing work and plans, a guideline for the AA offices. So that's the General Service Office and the AA Grapevine Office. In their work, budgeting processes and HR planning to effectively support carrying the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And obviously we're supporting you in that effort by creating the materials and doing the things that we're doing in these various communication channels. Overall, this document can be considered a plan for supporting AA members and carrying the message to all who suffer from alcoholism. I think I mentioned it, but I just want to state it again, that regular communication about AA's life-saving content is vitally important to remain relevant as a solution. So that's why you're consistently seeing our press releases that highlight different materials, such as the Hispanic Women in AA pamphlet, or, we're going to be doing one on, I believe, surrounding the military and highlighting some of those things. We had a carry the message kind of focused press release where we were highlighting our self-assessment tool that's on our AA.org website. So we're trying to not only focus on our print materials, but also on our digital materials, the self-assessment tool that actually you can take and score and answer those questions, which we all took at one point somewhere along the line. I know I did when I first got here. Unfortunately, I answered them all yes, which is why I'm here 30 years later and sober, thank goodness. But we want to remain relevant as a solution offering in the eyes of the general public, professionals, and media. So we have to work at that. So some of the highlights and future sections. So I just wanted to mention a couple things. I just mentioned the press release, our social media channels. We're not on that many, but we have a few, such as our LinkedIn channel. And Grapevine has the Instagram channel, and AA World Services has the YouTube channel, as does the AA Grapevine. We're out there. We're in those venues trying to, again, just carry the same old message that we do. Who we are, how we can help, and how you can get a hold of us in places where people might find us. I wanted to mention that one of the additions to the CMP this year is this content calendar. And this calendar is somehow going to be incorporated into the document, either as an appendices, I think, or something along those lines. And what it's meant to do is provide another way of visually looking at, in a holistic view, what's going on at the Grapevine, what's going on at GSO. From a communication standpoint, so that everybody can kind of see it in a holistic view, and then make decisions based on that. Like, if we've got a podcast on the grapevine that's having a certain subject, maybe that could tie into a press release that we want to do, or something around the conference, and that we're doing things and thinking strategically in, oh, well, maybe we do a podcast on, I'm just making this stuff up, so don't, you know, but I'm just thinking out loud, right? So we do a podcast on what's the General Service Conference, and then we have a Box 459 article about it, or some other messaging around it that might happen in the meeting guide app, or the other channels that we have, so that we're going to begin to be able to not do things in silos, not have Grapevine doing one thing and GSO doing another without really, you know, seeing, well, is there a way we could collaborate on some things and certain topics along the way? So that content calendar is going to be a great addition, we believe. And you guys can help us see if that's true. So a couple things I wanted to touch on. When you look at the, on page 4 of the CMP document, there are some key tenets to this document. And one of them is, we need to be present where our audiences are searching for our message. And a real life example of this is the online business profiles. So I wanted to mention it because this is not only happening at the GSO level, but this is happening a lot from what I'm hearing at the National PI and CPC Working Group at the local level. So what this is this is where the Google, for example, creates automatically a online business profile for AA World Services Inc. or locally for, you know, your Canadian central office. And because we're the owners of AA World Services Inc. here at the General Service Office, we can claim it. When we claim it, then we can clean up the information to make sure it's all great, you know, right phone number, right information about the office. And we've now started to address the comments and answer questions in the online business profile because we've now claimed it. And so we'll look at the, we've been looking at the comments and reviews, and sometimes we get great reviews, sometimes we get mediocre reviews. But the point of what we're trying to do in this channel of communication is not leave somebody's comment out there hanging if it's got misinformation in it. And then we try and answer the question or comment and guide them to our website and hear some additional information, like from us. Come to our website and find out what Alcoholics Anonymous is really all about, not kind of what you think it is about or may have heard it's about. So that online business profile is a good example, I think, of us being present where audiences are searching for our message or just out there making comments about AA or asking questions. And without us being in this space, others are answering it, but we're not answering it. So I think I will move on here and just talk a little bit about this bypass by the conference. Okay, because some of the questions that have been asked is like, where can I get a hold of this thing? Like, where is this CMP? Well, we don't have it posted on our website. However, it is in the conference background. So as I mentioned, the trustees committee is responsible for kind of doing the annual update. So they create a subcommittee. And then once it's done, then we'll put it in the conference background for the Conference Committee on Public Information. I'm the secretary to the committee, so I'm responsible for that. And we'll post it through your delegate as part of the background. So that's where it is. And that's the opportunity for the fellowship to see it, to read it, to comment on it, or to their delegate, share about it, maybe have additional ideas. We should really be over here. This channel's not being thought of. You know, there's just, we need your input all along the way. So That's where the in these in your local area delegate sessions and roundtables, and you know, when you're talking about agenda items, that's the place where you want to, you know, at least your PI committee chairs, CPC committee chairs, to kind of get in there and kick the tires on this thing and see where it can be improved, right? Because we do believe that your feedback is critical to what we're doing. And that is what I have to share with you guys. So I'm going to stop sharing. Hopefully it was informative, and I'm going to pass it along to Morgan. Back to Irma, with one of the two. Okay, sorry.
Whichever. Thank you, Patrick, for sharing, you know, some of the history and background with us and the 2022 Comprehensive Media Plan. So thanks for laying the groundwork for us. And now for all of you who haven't had the opportunity to meet Morgan before, when I first met her, she's just dynamic, so full of energy, and her love for Alcoholics Anonymous shows through, and her excitement for this Comprehensive Media Plan. So I really look forward to hearing from Morgan as well as you share with us. So thank you, Patrick, and we'll pass it to Morgan.
Thank you so much, Irma. And thank you, Kimberly, for putting this all together and inviting me to come talk to everyone about, yeah, one of my favorite things, the CMP. Feels like it's my baby at this point. I am currently serving as an appointed committee member for the Trustees Committee for Public Information. And if you don't know what an appointed committee member is, I feel like no one knows what an appointed committee member is, because there really is no good definition. About 2 years ago, I saw an email come through from my area that said that Trustees PI was looking for a person with at least 7 years of sobriety who was also a digital marketing expert to come serve on the committee. And I happen to be a digital marketing expert with exactly 7 years of sobriety. And I thought, how many of those could there possibly be? So I went over to my service manual and cracked it open and went in the index and found ACM. And then I went to the one page in the service manual that mentions it. And there's maybe two sentences, It basically says someone that's asked to be on one of the committees for their professional expertise, or, you know, expertise in general. It's not always professional. So they brought me on to give sort of a marketing or business perspective to the CMP process. There is another ACM on PI. His name is Kirk. He's great. He does completely different stuff than me. So I feel like every ACM gets a very different job just depending on what's needed. And the PI chair, who was chair when I got brought on, needed someone to work on the CMP. And this is kind of what I do for a living. I mean, it's essentially a big giant marketing plan. It's the plan, it's the summary, it's everything about how we're carrying the message digitally, how we're operating on all of our digital platforms. And when I got brought on, they handed me the previous draft, and it was about 140 pages. It had some sections that had been updated recently, some sections that hadn't been updated in several years. The structure was a little all over the place, and I felt like the document just wasn't sure what it wanted to be as far as like what the purpose was. And so the PI chair asked me to streamline it. He wanted it to be a very like usable, easy to read, easy to digest document, very utilitarian. He said that the 140 pages, like, there is good information, but it was all getting lost because you had to read 140 pages just to find it. So, you know, I like the first things that we did, we streamlined a lot. We took a lot of unnecessary stuff out, stuff that was like reports that were in other places that weren't relevant for the work we were doing right then. And we went through and I restructured it based on sort of, you know, how my professional eye would break things down. And how we went about the first year was we broke up a lot of the committee members into sort of working groups for the different sections, because there's a lot of information gathering when it comes to working on the CMP. You know, the table of contents, you have sections about, you know, the TV and radio PSAs, the podcast, meeting guide app, YouTube, LinkedIn, our brand voice, you know, all that sort of things. There's a lot of information that needs to get updated every year, and just communication with the office, communication with the grapevine, communication with the board. It requires a lot of people and a lot of moving parts to get all the sections updated, even just once a year. And, you know, we get information from all over the place. So last year we had the working groups, and it was kind of their job to go out and find the information with whoever had it, whether that was, you know, in the office or somewhere else. And so the working groups all wrote sort of draft sections and then gave them back to me. And then it was my job to go through and edit it, restructure some of the sections, make it look like it all belonged in the same document and more or less had the same voice, and made the sections more cohesive. And so we didn't end up with a perfect draft. I don't think the CMP is ever going to be perfect. I don't think it's ever going to be everything I would want it to be, because I'm a perfectionist. I'm always going to be able to look at it and identify, you know, 10 things that we could add or 10 things that could be stronger. But I'm really pleased with where we got it to last year. And this year it's going to be even better. Yeah, I feel like it took us that first year, a lot of it, just to sort of figure out what was going on and get a good baseline and get the CMP to a really good place. And this year we can really work hard on refining it and making it really as good as it can be moving forward, and a really usable document. You know, Patrick went through a lot of the different ways that the CMP gets used, but I mean, really, it's sort of an odd duck. It's an odd duck of a document, because it needs to be both understandable and usable by the office. So it needs to have like a lot of really technical information, because it gets used. You know, it's a guiding document for some of the things we're doing, but also, you know, it also should be understandable by pretty much any member of the fellowship that picks it up and wants to read it and wants to know what's going on up there in the office in New York. And, you know, in the interest of transparency, you know, we want everyone in the fellowship who's interested to be able to look in their pre-conference background and pull out the CMP and read it and know exactly what's going on and understand it. Because, you know, it's good. You know, a lot of times I feel like the office, the board, whatever, like we get stuff from local PI committees. Like a local PI committee does something great first, and then we're up there and then we take it and we start doing it, right? But, you know, it'd be nice if that could go the other direction sometimes too. Like if there's something useful that we're doing up in New York, it would be great if everyone knew about it. And the CMP is where a lot of that information would live. So writing it in a way that's understandable to anybody and also functions as a working document within an office is a really unique challenge. And it's something that I've had to really, you know, like grow in my role to figure out how to do properly. You know, I can do technical, I can do understandable, very hard to do those both in one document. And it's been a lot of fun. And it's been great to work with all the other people in the committee, because you have so many different backgrounds, different kinds of people on the committee and in and of itself. And we've been able to get a lot of really interesting perspectives. Now we have, you know, Class A trustees, Class B trustees, non-trustee directors, everyone's been really great to work with. Right now we're really thick in the weeds of getting the next draft ready. We did things a little differently this year. Instead of doing the working groups, we have a subcommittee. I am chairing the subcommittee, which has been a lot of fun and a lot of work. chairing a subcommittee has been really interesting. And so we've been working really hard with the committee, and we've been meeting with the new director of communication services, Clorinda. And I feel like the communication between, you know, like the CMP team and the office has never been better. I work really closely with Julie in the office, and I think we're doing better this time, like getting the information, getting things going. And the office with Clorinda, she's working on a new document, the CSD, the Comprehensive Strategic Planning. I don't know. It's another strategy document that they're having internally that I think is going to really complement the CMP eventually. And the two documents can work really nicely together. We're a document happy bunch in AA. We really like documents. But I'm really looking forward to hearing what questions everyone's has about the CMP. I feel like I learn so much every time I come somewhere and talk about it. And you know, I think that the more eyes that are on it, the better it's going to be. So thanks again for inviting me to come out, and I will turn the mic back over to Irma.
Thank you very much, Morgan. And thank you for everything that you do. And for those of you that may have missed, ACM stands for Appointed Committee Member. So thank you, Morgan. And then we have a few questions that have been coming in. So we're going to give an opportunity for people to ask questions through the chat monitor. And then I will, they're letting me know as questions are coming in, and then we will pass them on to Patrick and Morgan for the answers, hopefully. So Amy has question number one for us. So if you could read that off for us, that would be great as Patrick prepares to be on the hot seat.
Sure. Thanks, Marilyn. Or thanks, Irma. So the first question is, Google grants for nonprofits are outside of contributions that are deeply concerning to this person. Tradition 7, we decline outside contributions to avoid seemingly undue influence. If AA members are limited to $5,000 donations per year, how slippery is the slope when Google credits, in quote, are $10,000 per month?
That's a great question. And I really thank you for asking it. We have been down the traditions road with this question. Decision to work as a normal nonprofit in the Google Grants for Nonprofits ad program was not lightly taken, the decision to go for it, because we wanted to make sure that, you know, how does it work, et cetera. So the grant is up to $10,000 a month of placement value. So there's no actual cash that is coming our way. There's no actual transfer of any money. At this point, and certainly I'll ask Morgan to weigh in as well. At this point, we're not using the full allotment of the ads that are based on when people are searching and clicking, and there's an ad value for or a dollar value for each search word or term that might bring up our ad, I believe. And the amount resets every month. So there's not this carryover of placement value. It's a month to month, and it's just part of the program. So there was a subcommittee in the finance committee that looked comprehensively at the Tradition 7 question. There's a report that your delegate has, or we can provide about that, if any particular person is interested in that finance report, because I feel like it gives a good overview as well to this kind of question. And we're not doing anything different than any other nonprofit. So we're not getting any special deals. We're not, you know, we're just participating in a program where we can have to follow the rules of the program in order to do it, and have determined that it doesn't really break our seventh tradition at this point.
Thank you very much.
I'll give my 2 cents. Yeah. You know, I'm not a seventh tradition expert, but it's my understanding that it's always been interpreted that, you know, AA, whether it's local bodies or GSO up in New York, can accept things that are open to any other nonprofit. You know, as long as it's open to any nonprofit, like things like nonprofit rates at hotel, you know, anything like that, like we can accept it. You know, the thing about Google Ads, there are a lot of different kinds of Google Ads. There are Google search ads, which is what we use, which they only appear when someone searches for your keywords. So we punch in exactly what keywords we want to show up for. And then when someone Googles those keywords, our search result will come up as one of the first, you know, two or three like sponsored results, or be at the bottom of the first page where there's another area for sponsored results. And that sort of money that they, it's called pay-per-click because, you know, you only pay when someone clicks, right? So no one that isn't actively searching for us would see our ad. You know, it's not being promoted beyond anyone actively looking for us. And Patrick was exactly right in that we do not spend nearly $10,000 a month, because that would have to be a lot of clicks, and we do not get that many clicks. So we're not getting enough clicks currently to spend anything close to $10,000 a month. We don't even hit $10,000 in a quarter. I believe we're spending significantly less than $10,000 in a quarter. I think it's like $6,000 or $7,000 was third quarter, if I recall correctly. So you know, I wish we did hit closer to our $10,000 a month, because that would mean a lot of people who are actively looking for our message were finding us and clicking us. The Google Ads grants, it's really important because there's a lot of money in recovery. Like, the recovery industry is huge, and there are, you know, massive wealthy facilities out there who spend tens of thousands of dollars a month on SEO, so their organic search engine optimization, making sure they're on the first page of the Google results, and on Google Ads, tens of thousands of dollars a month easily. And we can't and shouldn't be competing. Like, we can't and shouldn't. Like, we should not be spending $10,000 of basket money a month on SEO. That would be ridiculous. Like, that's not like how, like, that doesn't make sense for how we carry the message. So this allows us to be among the first Google search results without having to directly compete with these rehabs and recovery facilities with very, very, very deep pockets, and without having to spend our members' money to compete with for-profit businesses. So this is actually a really great way to get our message in front of people who otherwise we would never come up. We would not be on the first page. We would not. Like, the number of people that scroll to the second page of search results, it's a very small number. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it's a very small number. Like, people would never find us online. And a big part of our job is to be there when people are looking for us, whether that's locally or online, you know, in person, virtually, whatever. And if people are looking for us on Google, it's our job to be there as best we can. And these Google ads give us a way to do that, that I think serves our members, serves the sick and suffering alcoholic very, very well.
Thank you, Morgan. Michelle, do you have a question for us? I haven't seen one pop up, but I want to make sure we're not missing any of the questions that may be coming in French.
No, not yet.
Okay. I encourage you to pose questions for us so we can keep Michelle busy. Okay, Amy, would you please share question number two?
Sure. Question number two. There is, we've got a number coming in on Google Ads. So with regards to the work that both of you are doing, was the fellowship asked whether this was something they wanted? And if so, how much input is sought from the fellowship in this process?
Patrick?
Sure. So I was reminded by someone about the 2019 discussion at the General Service Conference, which is our way of making decisions based on group conscience, right? The representative delegates of the 2019 conference discussed this potential for diving into using the Google Ads and participating in the Google Ads for Grants program. And the conference, after lengthy discussion, hours of discussion, approved to move forward with an advisory action of 2/3 of the members of that 2019 General Service Conference. And so that was the basis of the direction, right? It wasn't coming from the office that we would do this. It was coming from the conference that we would do this. you know, it may have been an idea posed by the office, but the decision to do it would have been through the conference, which would have been, again, where it, in anything that members want to have input in, that connection of your group to the structure through the delegate and through the agenda items and the annual conference process is where these discussions happen and these decisions get made. And so, you know, we're following through on the actions that were approved by the conference. And I just want to mention that in case we get, you know, too down in the weeds on the Google Ads for Grants, in this particular session, session two is called Is AA Advertising Google Grants and More? So I get it, but I did want to just mention that the section, you know, session two will be on this a little bit more in depthly.
Thank you very much, Patrick. And then for Morgan, we have a question number three.
Sorry, my mind just went totally blank.
I'll ask Amy to read it. Or did you want to comment also on what Patrick was answering first?
Yeah, I'll comment on what Patrick was answering. Okay. One of the things that the conference committee asked us in 2022 was to, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, so I'm summarizing as best I can, but like, don't lose the work that's already being done. Like, don't get too like spread thin so we're losing track of things that the conference has asked us to do over the years. And I think that the CMP really helps make sure that everything that the conference asks us to do is being done and being done well. Because, you know, all the different things, like the LinkedIn and the YouTube, like those came at a conference. You know, the conference makes the decisions and the trustees committee is going to make sure that their requests are, they make sure it happens. They carry out the work. So the CMP, I feel like, is a really essential reporting tool to make sure that we're all being fully transparent. Because part of the CMP, it's like, okay, where did it come from? What are we doing with it now? What are our goals? So I think that we all want to be good stewards of what the conference is asking us to do. So I think that it's essential that the lines of communication stay open, and that when the conference asks us to do something, that they have a place they can go look to make sure that what they asked us to do is being done and see how it's being done. And is there another question too, Irma?
Just hang on. Amy's going to read the next question for you.
Okay. Gotcha.
I've got a number here. So I have a question. This isn't mine. This is someone else's. Would you mind addressing the issue of anonymity if we want to have a social media account just for AA? An account, for example, Zoom wants your full name and organization. Do we put AA for our organization? What about a Facebook account and your name? I don't know if that it falls within your plan today, but.
Okay.
That's a fun question. Yeah. Anonymity online is really tricky. No, that's a great question. And we, in I feel like anonymity sort of weaves its way through the various sections in all kinds of different ways, because there are platforms that make staying anonymous a lot easier than others. And we have a lot more control over our degree of anonymity on some platforms more than others. So like a lot of the platforms these days, you can have sort of a business account. So like on a Facebook, you wouldn't really need to have a person named, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous it would be a business page. We don't have a Facebook. AA does not have a Facebook. That was struck down. That has come up and has been struck down. But just as an example, it would be a business, so it wouldn't have to be a fake anonymous person. The responding to the business listings, that happens, you know, from an organization, not a person. You know, I find that the question of comments really, really interesting with regards to online anonymity. You know, the YouTube is a great example. Right now we have comments turned off on the YouTube because we can. And, you know, we want to, are we protecting people's anonymity by not letting them comment? Are we making sure that nothing bad can be said about AA by not letting them comment? We can't turn off the online business listings. You know, we cannot make it to where people can't leave Google reviews. There's absolutely no way to prevent people from using their full name and leaving us a Google review. But on YouTube, we can prevent comments. The other side of that coin, however, is, you know, YouTube is the second largest search engine after Google. It's a search engine. All these different social media platforms are search engines, which is why we want to be there, because on any of them, someone could be looking for Alcoholics Anonymous. On Instagram, last time I looked, I think there were 3 fake Alcoholics Anonymous accounts. And, you know, we don't have an Instagram. Grapevine has an Instagram, but there is no Alcoholics Anonymous Instagram, but there are 3 fake ones. So on the YouTube search algorithm, you know, comments really matter. So we are kind of hamstringing our visibility on that platform by not allowing comments. If we allowed comments, we'd be more visible, but we don't. For reasons loosely related to anonymity. Now, is it our job to not let people break their anonymity by leaving a YouTube comment that may or may not reflect that they may or may not be a member? I don't know. I don't know if we have the authority to be the comment police or if we should take that on as like our job, but it's a great question. And I think that there should be a bigger section of the CMP about anonymity on all these platforms. I think that there should be a section on each of the different channels on how we're dealing with anonymity on that platform. It's kind of on my wish list because, I mean, it is a great question because it is so important that we stay anonymous, but also, you know, how much responsibility is it appropriate for us to take over other people's anonymity? I don't know. It's tricky.
Thank you very much, Morgan.
Before we go to a question, can I share just briefly a screen share that would show everybody what the online business profile that I talked about looks like?
Sure, I think that would be excellent. Thank you.
All right, let me go to, where am I? Go back over here. So this is not it. This is our AA World Services LinkedIn page. I'm going to go to Google. Everybody's seeing.
And I think as you bring that up, I think one of the things I just want to comment quickly on is, since the LinkedIn page was up, is how instrumental that has been with hopefully reaching out to future Class A trustees and people in the business sector that potentially may serve Alcoholics Anonymous. So I just want to bring that forward. That's one of the main purposes for LinkedIn. Okay, Patrick.
So right here, I typed in the Google search, AA World Services, Inc. This is the profile that was established by Google, not by us, or Alcoholics Anonymous World Services. Since we have claimed it as the owner, what we did was make sure all the information, as I mentioned, is correct. Hours of operation, phone number, etc. Then you get down to questions and answers and reviews. And we've started with the reviews portion, and then we're going to move into the questions portion. And so let me share with you an example. Let me see if that comes up. Do y'all see that? So this particular person, let me see if I get one. So this particular person, Bonnie Hayes, posted a review, and she appreciates everything that AA does, but I think there should be more awareness of the 13th step. When I try to bring it up in clubs, they shy away from it. I see 13th step and going in all the time, going on all the time, and it does chase the women out of the groups. I know it's meant, and women, and I can only speak from my experience. So what we come up as a response from the owner. So that's how it, the comment comes up that I post or we post here at the office. And then we shared from our, we don't just share randomly. We share from service material, literature, something that's related to the topic that's being discussed, brought forward, to hopefully share a little bit about some shared experience from our own perspective on whatever the said topic is. And we're guiding everybody back to our official website of Alcoholics Anonymous to find out more about our program. And but you know, the main point that I shared here was that AA is a microcosm of the larger society within which we live, and problems are found in the world that can also make their way into AA. And so we're trying to carry the message and provide a safe environment. And so that's directly from our service material. And there's similar other comments that we're pulling from literature and posting out here right now. So it's our first foray into commenting. Again, not getting into debate. We're not trying to, you know, let's give an opinion on what we think about 13-stepping. No, we're trying to guide them to specific shared experience. So hopefully that helps a little bit about what we're doing.
You're muted, Irma.
I have another question for us, Amy. Sorry, thank you.
No, that's okay. Yeah, here's a question. Can you speak to the possible intersection of the CMP with the strategic communication analysis that was released, they believe, in 2018? It was a report given by the trustee at large at the time, Scott H.
Okay, who would like to take that question? Patrick?
Boy, I wish I had that document in front of me from Scott. So it sounds like it might have been a presentation by Scott. I'm not really sure. I'd have to, you know, do some research on that particular document, which we, you know, could do. But there's been a couple of things around. So I don't, because I haven't read that document, I don't know. But it's not this document. It's not what we're talking about. It's not the comprehensive media plan. The comprehensive media plan is the comprehensive media plan. That's the document we're working on and updating and reviewing. But we've been talking about, you know, communication and the colossus of it, right? Since 19, you know, since we began, and obviously, you know, Bill's quotes from 1956. So we've been trying to be friendly with our friends in the media and whatnot all along the way. but I was going to say that, you know, there are certain things that have informed kind of where we have landed. You know, so obviously I shared with you already that this comprehensive media plan idea kind of began around the 2011 timeframe, 2010, 2011. But we didn't do our communications audit until 2018. And then from that, there was similar kind of suggestions that came out of the communications audit report that was presented to delegates at the time about, you know, those awful words that we don't like to say, but are just reality, branding and, you know, consistent messaging. And, you know, those kinds of things were like, hey, guys, let's, you know, this outside resource that we hired to do this communications audit for the very reason that we're, you know, talking about these things at all is to again, make sure that the message that we're carrying is in solid channels. Where might we need to go? You know, how are we doing? And relevant messaging. You know, all of those questions were asked in that communication audit and answered, and recommendations were made. And you know, one of the recommendations that came out of that was creating the communication services department, which is now up and running. And certainly, ideas that led us into to fulfill and enhance the direction we're going with the communication services plan. So I think it all plays in to the same topic, whether it's a presentation by a trustee at a certain time, the audit in 2018, and the plans that we're working on today. So
thank you, Patrick. Morgan, did you want to add anything, or?
It's kind of tricky without being exactly sure which document that we're talking about. Cause like, if we were talking about like the communications audit, like I could go on, but like, I'm not 100% sure which document we're talking about. So I'm just gonna.
Sounds good. And I know you came on after 2018, so that's only fair. So thank you very much. I just want to make sure we're not missing any questions from Michelle. Michelle, do we have any questions?
No, malheureusement.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Amy?
Sure, we have a question here. Our area is redesigning our website. Our plan is to link to Grapevine videos, but with the other social media links like Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn, we're unsure. What are your impressions as to what we should do and use?
Morgan, would you like to start this one off?
Sure. In addition to being ACM, I'm also tech chair for Area 27, and I just redid our website. So yay, fun stuff. Love new websites. We had a whole thing. We had like a vote on like what kind of links that we could and couldn't have. Like, could we link to like anything other than the AA.org website, et cetera, et cetera. I think linking to our LinkedIn would be great. I think linking to our socials on all of like our official socials, whether it's the Grapevine Instagram or any of that, can't hurt because there's a lot of good stuff going on over there and it could be helpful. I don't see any kind of conflict or of interest. I mean, I think that the way the world is going, you know, we're on the social media platforms and I don't think, I don't think the sky has fallen yet or, you know, the Instagram hasn't killed AA. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good.
Thank you, Morgan. And I saw one of the questions that had kind of streamed through earlier, and I just like to touch base on it. And it was in regards to with proposed agenda items and the agenda items coming forward before your delegate. And the question was from a CPC PI committee chair, wondering that if they aren't receiving that information from their delegate, how can they possibly receive it? What I would really encourage them to do is to reach out to their delegate though, and to have that conversation with their delegate, because that delegate can share that information with you. And if for whatever reason that doesn't work, then I would really encourage you to reach out to your regional trustee. You know, they can help you and working with your delegate to get that information that can help you move forward within your area and have a better understanding of the CMP plan. So thank you for your question though. Amy.
Okay, a question was, someone wrote in and wanted to know how the membership survey ties in with the comprehensive media plan.
So Patrick, I'll let you touch on that because I know you've been really working hard on that, baby, as well as Morgan.
Yes, so the actual process of doing the 2022 AA membership survey, the work of it, the working with the delegates and selecting the sample of groups and doing the process of getting the survey completed, results back and tabulated is kind of one portion of the process that's not really impacting the CMP, the Comprehensive Media Plan. But obviously the results reporting is where we are going to be communicating effectively, hopefully, we'll cross our fingers, and effectiveness, and in new ways to the fellowship and the professionals and the general public at large. So what the plan is, because there was a request in the recommendation as we paused from 2014 until, you know, now, which is why we haven't done a membership survey for quite some time, because we were looking at the methodology, looking at the way we were doing it, and making sure that we felt that it was an effective way to accomplish it. And there was a request to move forward and do this 2022 AA membership survey, but we enhanced some of the questions on the survey. And one of the main things that we found out from the professionals was that they don't utilize our pamphlet. Our membership survey pamphlet is not really an effective tool to share the information that's coming out of our survey. And we did, with the way we found that out was we actually had our, we hired one of a survey methodologist who had conversations and interviewed professionals on that pamphlet. And so we've gone in a different direction. What we're going to do is we are going to still have a pamphlet, but it's going to be more of a highlight pamphlet of results that will have a QR code on it that will take anyone to a full web page that's going to have the infographics of each of the survey elements. So how many meetings do you go to per week? You know, there's new questions around, do you attend virtual meetings? Do you prefer virtual meetings over in-person meetings? There's some new ways that we are capturing the makeup of our fellowship, whether it's racial demographics or gender demographics or, you know, age and those sorts of things. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to individualize infographics so that each result will be downloadable by local PI committees and CPC committees and any AA member who wants to create presentations based on this piece or that piece, this infographic. Maybe they want, you know, 5 of the 19 infographics to create a presentation to go talk to a school or whatever it might be. So we're moving in this direction. The trustees PI committee made the recommendation. It was approved at the board meeting in October, and we're moving in this direction for how we're going to produce the results. So then we've got to like share about those results to everybody. So that's where the communication comes in. Where are we going to communicate it? Where we're going to communicate it in our channels. Certainly we want to communicate it ultimately that, hey, come to our new webpage on AA.org that describes our 2022 membership survey. And so we'll have postings like that on LinkedIn that will guide professionals to the AA.org website, for example. And so that's where the CMP and the channels come into play, if that makes sense. I know that was a long-winded answer, but I'm excited about it because it's all been happening live and in real time.
Excellent. Thank you, Patrick. Okay, Amy, let's entertain another question.
Yes, the next question is, in the search words for Google, would words indicating that we are free of charge help, since some of these huge recovery mansions are very expensive?
Good question. Morgan?
Would you mind repeating the question for me? I was kind of breaking up a little bit.
Sure, no problem. In the search words for Google, would words indicating that we're free of charge help, since some of these large recovery organizations are very expensive?
Yeah, so we have, so every ad that we have, so we have different ad sets. We have ad sets for people trying to find a meeting near them. We have ad sets for professionals, like trying to find, you know, like for doctors looking for help for patients and judges and that kinds of things. And we have more just like need help quitting drinking, like more general ad sets. And each ad set has a variety of different copy, like lines of text that can show up depending on what exactly the person searched for. So Google audit, like it rotates sort of the variations of the ad that it creates based on the available copy pieces to reflect their search terms and also based on performance. So if it notices that one line of copy gets more clicks or is more relevant than another line of copy, it'll prioritize that one. But for the most part, it changes based on what the person is searching for. So we do have lines in the ads. There are options for, you know, we have copy options that say that, you know, we're free. And so that might show up. So depending on how the Google algorithm chooses to jigsaw the ad together, that line may or may not appear. But if someone uses that term in their search, then it'll definitely appear, if that makes any sense.
Would you like another question, Irma?
Yes, I would, please.
Patrick, oh, sorry. Okay, next question is, this was directed at something that Morgan said, and that there are several accounts impersonating AA. Is part of the plan to put in process a way of removing these impersonating accounts, if that's possible?
No, there's no plan in place for removing them. There's really not a lot we can do. And I think that AA in the past has been really cautious about, trying to remove fake accounts. They don't want to mess around in like external stuff. So I think that like, that's not really what we generally do as in my experience. But that being said, like, I believe Instagram has already been shut down. It could come back up, like the option for an AA Instagram that would then be the real one, and we would have a real one and not just three fake ones. That could happen. Like if there was a motion sent to conference and the conference said yes, like I think that would be the best way to deal with the fake accounts, is just to have a real one. That's the best option in my mind. But no, there's nothing we can do that could get them removed, especially if we don't have an account at all. You know, and honestly, if we did go and start like asking for those to be removed, there would probably just be three more new ones tomorrow. But the existence of all the fake ones is my primary reason for saying like, yes, we should probably have an Instagram account, just so the people that are searching for an Alcoholics Anonymous Instagram account find a real one instead of the fake one. So, I mean, I think we should have one for that reason, but if we want one, it'll have to come from conference.
Thank you very much, Morgan. And I know if people, search AA.org, that is our website. And that's why we always try to, in all our correspondence, all our information, to ensure that people hopefully understand that AA.org is our website and the way to reach us. And I know, as you said, we're not the AA police, right? But what I know we can do and what we have done is sometimes, you know, even just write a letter to another entity, you know, talking about who we are and what we are and what our contact information is, and asking them to more or less cease and desist, right? But we can't force anyone to do that. All we can do is hopefully help members and help people searching for Alcoholics Anonymous find us in the most effective way. So thank you for sharing that.
And Irma, I do have a real life example of some of the work that happens on this assignment when somebody brings up what actually happened was I have Google alerts on set up with certain keywords so that I could see how AA is being talked about in various news articles. So I get the alerts in my inbox every morning. This one particular news article was from Blue Cross Blue Shield, and it was their quarterly, newsletter to their massive employees who might have Blue Cross or Blue Shield insurance here in the United States. And it was Recovery Awareness Month or what have you. And so they were doing an article in their Blue Cross Blue Shield newsletter. The problem was when they were mentioning, go find, here's a way to find information about Alcoholics Anonymous. Instead of using AA.org, they used the website alcoholicsanonymous.com. And alcoholicsanonymous.com is not Alcoholics Anonymous's website. And so what we can do in a situation like that, so I saw that come up in my Google alerts. They had the right NA website, but I was able to get in touch with the creators of that newsletter and ask them to edit it and retract and put a statement that said, you know, here's the real AA.org website, and got them to change it. So then they redistributed that newsletter. So there's different ways that we're coming at things like this in sometimes small ways, but I think in this instance, it was a pretty effective way because the number of people who got that communication was a broad, you know, was a broad distribution. So.
Thank you, Patrick, and thank you for that real life example. Okay, Amy, do you have another question for us?
We have time for a couple more. Okay, I have a question. Would it serve AA to come up with a mission statement for the public that is not accredited to an apparent outside entity, as the public does not know who the grapevine is? On that same line of thinking, do we need to be telling folks that we're men, women, or people in a descriptor on the internet? It's probably a given.
Patrick, do you want to cover that one to start with?
I mean, obviously on AA.org, we have our preamble language. We are, you know, there's many different places where we're talking about and messaging that AA is for everyone. And we say it in different ways. I think the preamble was a great way. That's just my opinion of just, again, opening the door a little bit wider to use the word people. I know that's a controversial subject potentially sometimes, but you know, that's one way that the message is out there, that we're for anyone. We're just people. We're here. If you got a problem, we can help. So I'm not sure about a mission statement. I mean, we've got PI messaging that we do, and that we're kind of using that same normal, you know, what's the problem? Where's the solution? And how do you get a hold of us format when we're creating our messaging? So, I mean, I think that shares effectively who we are, what we do, and how we can help, and how to get a hold of us in a very succinct way. And, you know, we all say that in different ways. And when I say we all, obviously you guys locally are creating messaging on billboards and, you know, subway signs and bus stop signs and all of those things, which are fantastic ideas, and the work that you do locally that kind of mirrors what's happening down here at the bottom of the triangle. Same kind of messaging. So I think we pretty much have an effective mission statement, if you will. But we haven't decided or had talked about creating a specific one. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. And Amy, can I just revisit one of the questions just really quickly, and just to expand on one of the answers? And it's because Vera Farrell, she's a non-trustee director who's with us this evening as well, and has been working with us with her strategic plan, and is really familiar with that document, even more so than I am right off, without having in front of me, just as Patrick and Morgan. So that question in regards to the intersection of the CMP with the strategic communication analysis that was released in 2018. And what I can share with you is, just a sec, sorry, And Vera actually had sent me more or less a response to that question, and that's what I wanted to read off to you. So some recommendations that came from the audit included improving communication, be more consistent in our message, noted missed opportunities, and to engage with professionals more so, relationship with media. So it was good, yet there was little to no coverage at that time. So CMP has the potential to address these recommendations that came from that. And so really want to just thank Vera for sending us that in the chat that I was able to read it off to you. Okay, Amy, further questions? You're muted, Amy. Your turn.
There we go. I didn't sound very articulate anyway. So when will the membership survey be available, Patrick?
It's got to go through conference. So any creation of the final website or production or, you know, production of the final pamphlet version will be post-conference. So sometime summer, you know, after the conference, if and when the conference agrees, conference has to make a decision. But they would only have to make a decision on the conference approved pamphlet portion because that's what's conference approved. The actual webpage, we're going to provide a mock-up, but there's not a conference approval of the webpage per se. So, post-conference 2023.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay, Amy.
I have a technical question for Morgan or Irma. You can decide. How can we link a PSA to our area's website without redirecting users to AA.org, so that they can remain on their page?
Okay, Morgan, would you like to address that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat it for me?
Sure. How can we link to a PSA on our area's website without redirecting users to AA.org?
Huh, that's a fun question. I guess you could take a screenshot of the PSA and add it as an image, or you could download it as a PDF and store it on your own like back end and have a link to it on your own page. There are a few fun options. Where if you're talking about like a radio PSA or a video PSA, you could download it. And if it's a video, videos are tricky. With a video, I would use the YouTube. Like the PSAs are on the YouTube channel for the most part, and you can use the link on the YouTube to embed it on your site. So all they'd have to do is click play. But for radio, that might be a little trickier. If you have like a WordPress website or anything, there are all kinds of different plugins, like little players and stuff. Yeah. Someone just sent me a direct message. When you have a link, you can tell it that you want to open it in a new page. So it won't take them away from your website. If that's what you're worried about, it would just open a different website in a new page. If taking them away from your website is what the concern is. So a lot of different ways to skin a cat on that one.
Thank you. And there is guidelines for posting AA General Service Conference approved public service announcements on AA websites. So that is available as one of the service materials from GSO. And the link is actually in the chat. So thank you, Patrick. If you wanted to share that, that would be fabulous. And we do have a question that's come in through Michelle. So Michelle, please.
Thanks, Irma. So the question is, est-ce que district devrait avoir un site web?
Thank you for that question. And Morgan, do you want to reply? I know Patrick's busy doing something there, so I'll go to you first.
Sure. I think that's a fun question. I'm also a DCM, District 2193 in New Orleans. I've seen a lot of really good district websites. I think that the answer to this question completely depends on your district and what would best serve the needs of your district. So in some districts, they have a really good central office that has a website that's handy dandy. And that central office website serves as essentially the district website or the website for a few different districts, in which case they don't really need their own website. They could have one if they want to. And if they want to post things, you know, they could totally have a website that would do it. But I would say that it depends on the needs of your district. Like if you think that your district would be best served by having a website and you have the budget to fund like the hosting and the building of it, then why not? But also, like, if there is another service entity in your area that already has a website, maybe you could collaborate with them and find ways for their website to maybe serve your district a little bit better if there are needs that aren't being met. I would say, like, if like I only have like as an example, I'll use my city. You know, New Orleans has four districts in it, more or less, like in the whole metro area. And I think if all the districts had a website, that might get a little confusing. It certainly could. And it would represent a lot of duplication of effort. One of my pet peeves in life is duplication of effort. So I just don't want anyone to have to do any work that they don't have to do. But that being said, if your district wants a website, needs a website, I think that would be great. But if they don't, maybe you don't need to spend the money or do the work. Yeah.
Morgan. Okay, so at this, we only have 5 minutes left of this session. So at this time, I want to say thank you to Patrick and Morgan. And I want to turn this over back over to Kimberly and just say thank you for the opportunity to be with you this evening. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much, Irma. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Morgan. Thank you, Patrick, for being here and for all the great information that you've given us this evening. And also thank you to our Zoom techs and our chat monitors and our interpreter for this evening. Thank you as well. If you haven't already, please take a moment to complete the short feedback survey on this evening's session by clicking the link in the chat. There is an English and a French version. The next session will take place on November 22nd, and the topic will be, is AA advertising, Google Grants and more? So that will be our next topic. There are still some questions that have come in to Amy, and we'll try and get those answered. And when the audio recording of this becomes available, I can attach a couple of the documents that you've requested, as well as any questions and answers that we didn't get to this evening, and get those out to you in the next couple of days. And look forward to seeing you all on the 23rd. Did I say 22nd? Sorry about that. November 23rd, which is a Wednesday. And again, at the same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And please help me close with our Declaration of Unity, which has been posted in the chat. I know you haven't unmuted, but you can say it along with me anyways. This we owe to AA's future, to place our common welfare first, to keep our fellowship united. For on AA unity depend our lives and the lives of those to come. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. And have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you so much, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Irma,
thank you,
everybody.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you.
Great job, everyone.
There we go. Now you guys can unmute.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Morgan.
Thanks, Morgan.
Thanks, Kimberly.